Good afternoon, everyone. Hope everyone's having a wonderful Sabbath day. Beautiful day out there today. Beautiful sunshine. We were sitting out there for a while this morning, enjoying it, by the way. As it's already been said, we will be keeping the Feast of Trumpets next Saturday. We know as we begin to look at the Feast of Trumpets, there is a lot of information regarding that festival. Many questions always arise as we read about these future events as they begin to happen. They're described with many different ways that present questions. One question people may have asked is, will Jesus Christ return on the Feast of Trumpets? Will he return on the exact day of the Feast of Trumpets? Can we prove that? Another question that some may ask, is the seventh trumpet the same as the last trumpet? We can read that there's some scriptures describing the last trumpet. Some scriptures say the seventh trumpet. Is it talking one and the same? We would probably be surprised as people to know how many questions that are asked the church at any given time. And the church has always published information. I can remember that back all the way back to our original organization. They've always published information to help answer many of these type of questions. So today I would like to cover these two questions that I have mentioned here in the introduction. We know that many of the guys have been asked to give papers on What Do We Believe, which is a monthly feature that CAGWA prepares for the ministry. And as you know, many of us have been covering those subjects, so I'm going to be covering two of these questions today. If you'd like a title for this message, I took both questions and put it together. The title is The Seventh Trumpet and the Day Christ Returned. The Seventh Trumpet and the Day Christ Returned. We will be covering these two questions that people ask. The first question that I would like to cover first, is the seventh trumpet the same as the last trumpet? We can read scriptures that talk about the seventh trumpet. We can also read scriptures that talk about the last trumpet or the last trump. We can read scriptures that just say a trumpet. The question is this, is the seventh trumpet the same as the last trumpet? Do the scriptures show whether they are one and the same? And I'll give you a spoiler alert. We believe they are the same. Both the seventh trumpet and the last trumpet are the same. As we go through these scriptures, you're going to see that some events in one will also be described with another. And we begin to tie things together. We can see sounding the seventh trumpet are described in different ways. Let's begin by going to Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8, here we're going to read that there are seven angels with seven trumpets. That makes up the seventh seal. Let's begin in chapter 8, and let's read here in verse 1. It says, when he, Jesus Christ, opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So take note, there's seven angels and there's seven trumpets. Then down to verse 6. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first one began to sound in verse 7. The first angel sounded. He blew that first trumpet. Then it's going to be the second angel with the second trumpet. The third angel with the third trumpet. I wanted to describe it that way because let's go forward now to the seventh trumpet. That's where our question is. Let's go to Revelation chapter 11. Here we're going to focus on what occurs with the seventh angel that we know blows the seventh trumpet. But if you read this, it doesn't say the seventh trumpet. But what we just read back in chapter 8 shows that this seventh angel is blowing the seventh trumpet. Revelation 11, beginning in verse 15. It says, the seventh angel sounded, And there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Right off the bat, we're beginning to see a transition of power given to Christ. He's coming to take over rulership. He's coming, as it says here, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He's coming to assume power when the seventh angel sounded. Let's go to verse 16. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, this is what the 24 elders said to give us more information. They said, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. The nations were angry. So as Jesus began to take over rulership, take over this power, we begin to see the nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets, and the saints. They mention that there's a reward to take place right here at this seventh trumpet, rewarding your servants, the prophets, and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. So here we see described the transition of power given to Jesus Christ at the seventh trumpet. We can read in verse 18 also that his servants, the prophets, the saints, will be rewarded at that time. This information is given when the seventh trumpet is blown. Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Here's another place that describes Jesus Christ's return, the Olivet Prophecy. Matthew 24, and let's begin reading here in verse 30. It says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, just like what was described back there in Revelation. As he begins his power, then the people on the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. It doesn't say the seventh trumpet. It doesn't say the last trumpet, but it says a trumpet. But what occurs? And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Further detail, we mentioned back in Revelation where there was a reward for his servants, for the prophets, for his saints. Here, further detail is given at this same trumpet where he sent his angels to gather his elect from the four winds. We see Christ being described here once again as he returns with this transition of power. He assumes the power. He assumes to take over and to put down the governments of this earth. Then there's more detail tied to the event when it starts talking about the angels gathering together the elect. We see that Christ will send his angels to gather the elect. It says here, at a great sound of a trumpet. Which trumpet does this describe? By tying the scripture here with Revelation 11 verse 15, both scriptures show the context of Christ assuming power, coming to the earth to assume that power and rulership. In Revelation 11, 15, it's clear that it is the seventh trumpet. Christ's words here in Matthew 24 add the gathering of his elect to the events describing his return to the earth. So we begin to start tying these events together, describing these trumpets. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to get more information about the gathering of the elect. First Corinthians chapter 15. And let's begin reading here in verse 51. It says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." It was mentioned that the angels would gather together there at a trumpet. Here it's described as the last trumpet. We're beginning to see these intermixing of the words of trumpet tied to the same events. We see here that these elect will include the dead in Christ. It says the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and shall be changed. We are seeing these events tying together. Let's go to another spot. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to look to see how Christ's return is described here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." It says that Christ will descend from heaven with that shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. We know Revelation 11 designates that time as the seventh trumpet. So we begin to see that these trumpets are talking about the same thing. There's other events tied to this seventh trumpet. We know that the seven last plagues culminating in the battle of the great day of God occurs included in on this seventh trumpet as it blasts. We know that the seventh trumpet contains the seven last plagues or those seven bowls that are described being poured out in Revelation. Let's go to Revelation chapter 16. Let's begin to read about the battle that's going to take place, that's included in the description of this seventh trumpet. Revelation chapter 16. And let's begin reading here in verse 13. It says, "And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty." The spirit world of Satan will be influencing the people on this earth to battle and fight Jesus Christ as he returns. Verse 15. "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon." And that's where we talk about the battle of Armageddon. Verse 17, talking about the seventh angel pouring out his bowl, or the seventh plague, of the seventh of the last plague. "The seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, 'It is done.' And there were noises and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as had not occurred since men were on the earth. Now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon, modern Babylon, was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of fierceness of his wrath. We begin to see more of what occurs on the seventh trumpet as these last plagues are played out, descriptions that are occurring within this seventh trumpet. Let's see another description of this battle. Let's go to Revelation 19. Revelation chapter 19. And let's read here in verse 11. It says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and make war," talking about Jesus Christ. "His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had the name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." And we know the Word of God there in John 1 became Jesus Christ. Then in verse 14, "And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of horses, those who sit on them, and the flesh of all the people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse, against his army. Then the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. These two were cast into the lake of fire." All of this is describing the seventh trumpet. You might ask, why would God do all of this destruction? Sin. God hates sin. He has to do this to eliminate sin. Let's go to some more description. Let's go back to Zechariah chapter 14. Trying to get more descriptions of this last trumpet in this arena that's being described. We're going to see that Christ comes to the earth. He touches down on the Mount of Olives. And then in verse 5, we're going to read something very special, that the saints are going to be with him as he touches down at the Mount of Olives. We need to keep that one in mind. Zechariah 14, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled," or they'll be plundered, "the women ravished. Half the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city." There'll be a remnant that remains. Verse 3, then the Eternal will go forth and fight against the nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. Then you shall flee, this remnant, through my mountain valley. For the mountain valley shall reach to Azel. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then this statement occurs. Thus the eternal my God will come and all the saints with you. As he comes to the Mount of Olives and touches down, all of the saints will have already been resurrected or changed in the twinkling of an eye, and they will be with him. This scripture clearly connects Christ's arrival at the Mount of Olives with his fighting and the battle that would occur at that location. The battle of that great day of God Almighty. The battle of Armageddon. The Bible says little as to the exact timing or how long or the length of time that these events will take. But we know that when Jesus Christ returns, the resurrection of the saints must occur before Christ comes down to the Mount of Olives. Verse 5 clearly says that we will be with him. Brethren, all of this is occurring, describing the time period of the seventh trumpet, the last trumpet. It's all being described in that same time period. So let's get back now to this question. Is the last trumpet the same as the seventh trumpet? In searching the scriptures, and we've read many, the seven trumpets of Revelation are logically the only set of trumpets in the Bible to which the term last trumpet or last trump can be related. No scripture refers to an eighth trumpet or a ninth trumpet. In Revelation 10, verse 7, which we did not read, shows that the last trumpet blown by the seventh angel would finish the mystery of God, making it sound like it would be finished after the seventh trumpet, which would be the last trumpet. When we put all the scriptures together, it's clear that Jesus Christ and the resurrection of the saints occur with that last trumpet, or on that seventh trumpet. We believe that they're both the same. That's the first question that we address. Now let's move on to the second question. The second question is, will Christ return on the exact day of the Feast of Trumpets? Most of us have been in the church for a very long time. We've heard many people speculate. We've heard many dogmatic statements. The majority of us have probably heard that Christ will return on the Feast of Trumpets. As we look at this question, though, we need to accurately reflect what the scriptures teach us, what they say. As we look at the Bible, we can't say for sure that Jesus Christ will return on the Feast of Trumpets. We could say that would fit very well, but we can't find that for sure, and we don't know for sure that that's the case. The Feast of Trumpets describe all seven trumpets of the seventh seal of Revelation. The Feast of Trumpets describes a huge amount of information. And when we talk about will Christ return on the Feast of Trumpets, when the Feast of Trumpets describes many, many events, it's hard to pinpoint to say whether he will or won't. Could he? Yes. But will he? We're going to wait and see. The Feast of Trumpets points to Christ's return, but it also points to other events coinciding with the blowing of the first six trumpets. If you get the first six trumpets, months of time. We know the fifth trumpet alone is 5 months long. How many months does it take for the six trumpets to be done before the seventh trumpet begins? We just spent a lot of time on the seventh trumpet. Look at all the time that it would take for the seventh trumpet and the seven last plagues to occur. We're talking a huge amount of time, for sure months and months, described by the Feast of Trumpets. The first six trumpets within the seventh seal are described in Revelations chapters 8 and 9. The fifth trumpet alone, like I mentioned, lasts for 5 months. We are correct to say that Christ will return on the seventh trumpet, but we must consider that the Feast of Trumpets represents much more than just the one event of Christ's return. Obviously, that is the most important event, and nobody will argue that. But can we say by the Scriptures that he will return on the holy day, the Feast of Trumpets? We can't find that in the Scriptures. When we think of Christ's return, we may look at his descent upon the Mount of Olives. Very important time when his feet arrive at the Mount of Olives. Would that be the time when the Feast of Trumpets would be? Or would it be something else along the timeline? But this is just the one event that takes place. The seventh trumpet itself contains multiple events. They are described as in the last seven chapters, mostly in Revelation 11 through 19. A lot of information, a lot of things occurring. Some of the events that I might mention: the proclamation of three angels, the seven last plagues that include terrible sores, the destruction of fresh water supply, scorching heat, and many other events regarding the seven last plagues. We can read about the armies gathering at Megiddo to prepare for that battle of Armageddon. We can read about noises being described, thunderings, lightnings, the greatest earthquake in man's history. We can read about modern Babylon that finally collapses. All of this is described by the Feast of Trumpets. Huge amount of information that the Feast of Trumpets pictures and it describes. We can turn back to Isaiah, where it points to the time when all these events will begin to transpire. I want to quote a verse to you from Isaiah. Isaiah 26, and in verse 21, it says, "For behold, the Eternal comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity." He comes out of his place. He returns to the earth. Transition of power to take on this rulership. It's all described in the Feast of Trumpets. Let's turn to Micah chapter 1. A lot of information is in this Feast of Trumpets being described by it. Further description of what the Feast of Trumpets describe is here in Micah and many other places in the Minor Prophets as well that we will not be reading. Please turn to Micah 1, and let's begin reading in verse 3. Micah 1, verse 3. "For behold, the Eternal is coming out of his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. The mountains will melt under him. The valleys will split like wax before the fire, like waters poured down a steep place. All this is for the transgression of Jacob." Keep that in mind. Why does all of this have to happen? Because of transgressions, because of iniquity, because of sin. God hates sin. It's the opposite of God. God has to wipe it out. "All this for the transgression of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel." What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? All of this destruction occurs because of sin. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 14, where we can read about where it describes the judgments inflicted on human beings because of this sin. All of this describes this Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets pictures all of this time period. Revelation 14, beginning in verse 9. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." Here we read descriptions of what the Feast of Trumpets picture. It describes horrible destruction, but yet it also very joyful for all of us as we go into glory. The Feast of Trumpets also pictures that exact point in time at the seventh trumpet. Can you imagine the angels being dispatched to gather the saints that are scattered around the world? As you wake up, if you had died, or if you change in the twinkling of an eye, can you imagine the excitement that you will have, the joy? At the same time that this Feast of Trumpets picture horrible times for the people on the earth. All of this is described with the Feast of Trumpets. Many will be resurrected or changed in the twinkling of an eye. Let's go to Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. This shows that when the beast finally confronts Christ for the battle, the saints are with him. We will be with him if we can be there, if we can follow through, if we can make it to the end. Revelation chapter 17, beginning in verse 14. It says, "These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful." That's the first fruits. That's his saints. That's his elect that are described in different ways. We will be with Christ as he confronts this battle of Armageddon. In Psalm chapter 149 in verse 5, I'd like to quote this verse here. We turned to it earlier when we were addressing the first question. I'd just like to quote it here once again. It says, "Let the saints be joyful in glory." Very happy time for the first fruits. "Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth." But then it says this, "And a two-edged sword in our hand," in the saints' hand, "to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all the saints." That's what it says there in Psalm 149. Brethren, this gives us strong indication that we will be assisting Christ in this battle. When it says a two-edged sword is going to be in our hand. So getting back to the question, will Christ return on the Feast of Trumpets? We've tried to show how vast of what the Feast of Trumpets represents. As we have seen, the Feast of Trumpets pictures many events requiring some time, many months for sure. When we truly think about it, does it matter what day Jesus Christ returns? I think our primary focus is to be there, to get through our maturing process so that we can be there when that angel wakes us up and gathers us to the cloud to meet Jesus Christ, where we'll see him face to face. We are told in Matthew 24 that we will know the signs and the season preceding Christ's return. Remember, it talked about the fig tree. We'll see signs. We'll see seasons preceding Christ's return, but we won't be told the exact time, the exact day. In Mark 13, verse 32, I'll quote this for you. Jesus Christ said, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Brethren, I have lived my life in the Church of God. I've heard many speculations. I've heard many dogmatic statements of when Christ will return. What year, what day, what month? We don't know. We have to admit we don't know for sure. Does it fit that Christ would return on the day of Pentecost, on the Feast of Pentecost, or the Feast of Trumpets, sorry? Yes, it makes full sense to me, but can we dogmatically teach it? Can we dogmatically say that that's the case? Some have asked this second question that we are addressing today. Will Christ return on the Feast of Trumpets? Brethren, we certainly believe that the Feast of Trumpets points to the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. That's our hope, that he comes and puts down this world because of the sin that we see so rampant today, increasing today. It's nauseating to watch. We believe that the Feast of Trumpets points to the resurrection of the saints at that last trump, or at that seventh trump, or that a trump, trumpet, ever how it's described. We just want to be there. We also believe that the Feast of Trumpets points to many other events as well, lasting months. We can't say that Christ will return on the exact day of the Feast of Trumpets. It is possible that it will occur that day. We can speculate. Makes sense that it will occur that day, but we don't know for sure. Hopefully, brethren, this has helped with these two questions regarding the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets is in 1 week. I hope I've read enough scriptures today to get everybody into the Bible studying this week, being prepared for what this festival pictures next week, as well as all the festivals in the fall festival season. This year, I hope you enjoy the fall festivals and all that they have pictured.